And tell me, you were getting ready to tell me something about you, the Japanese internment camp
okay.
there.
As I said, I didn't know anything about it until I moved to McGee, and in 1982, I was asked to put on a dinner for some Japanese Americans who were returning to dedicate a monument out at the Roar. And that night at the banquet, I was going around talking to the different Japanese Americans, mm-hmm. and met these three people: Jamie Vogel, who was the art teacher, and Sam Yada, who was the only family that stayed in Arkansas, and George Sakaguchi, whose parents had been interned at Roar, and he was a retired major in the Air Force. So they all were talking, all the people there were talking about how terrible it was that there were no Japanese Americans in this area to take care of the site. Well, I had nothing to do. I mean, my farming was going okay and my children were growing. And I told them I would be happy to take care of the site. And if they came back or any of their friends came back, to call me and come by here and I'd take them to the site, mm-hmm. and show them the site, and mm-hmm. I would treat them to lunch or overnight stay or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And this was in 1982?
1982, May mm-hmm. the 30th, 1982. Mm-hmm. That was the first that I had anything to do with it. And they said, fine, and one or two of them said, oh, Mayor Gould said, we've got so-and-so in the attic. Could we send it to you? Give it. I said, well, certainly, I'd be glad to keep it. And somebody else said, well, we've got so-and-so. And it just mm-hmm. started just escalating. Everybody that had something wanted to send mm-hmm. or give to me, you know, as a gift.
And were these all Japanese Americans?
They were all Japanese mm-hmm. Americans. Mm-hmm. So about 2 weeks later, I got a call from a tour company in Los Angeles, and they said they understood that I had said that anytime anybody came to call me, and I would be glad to host them or whatever. And they were sending a tour bus and would be here at so-and-so. And would I be interested in greeting them and going with them out to Roar and tell them? And I said, yes, and I'll be glad to have a catfish dinner catered for them at noon. And they said, well, that's fine. So sure enough, here comes this big tour bus out in the front. And I took them.
Now, you were living here then?
I was living here, yes. Mm-hmm. I moved here in 1968.
Okay.
And half a dozen of them came in with pictures or carvings or something, you know. They had understood that that everybody was sending me things. So, so we did. I hosted the lunch. Well, two or three weeks later, well, this family calls and said, well, they were coming and they understood that I would be glad to have them come and so forth. Well, it just kept escalating, mm-hmm. and every year 2 to 3 to 4 buses would come in, mm-hmm. and I would host them, and then of course they would sign the guest book, mm-hmm. and that it just escalated, mm-hmm. and then it got to where people kept calling me and asking me if I would speak to this reunion of the internees and that reunion, or mm-hmm. one of the universities would call and say, I understand that you know something about the Roar camp. Would you come and tell us about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, now, how did you find out about it? I mean, when you in 82, you hadn't known anything about it, even though you lived in Roar?
Well, they came in 1942.
Right.
Well, nobody. The government never told anybody what the camps were. What the camp was, we didn't know whether they were prisoners of war. Whether they, what it was, the government never said. These people were here, mm-hmm. and of course, I lived at Tiller, and there was rationing, gas rationing. You couldn't go anyplace mm-hmm. unless mm-hmm. to the doctor or something. Mm-hmm. So, and then I went to the university and thought no more about it. Mm-hmm. And then when I married in 49 and moved out there, everything had been moved. Everything had been auctioned off. Mm. There was nobody out there. And mm-hmm. the people who were there refused to talk about it. My in-laws, my mother and father-in-law, were good friends of the director, Mr. Johnson, who'd been here because he had left. They never talked about it. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think anything about it until 1982 when the Japanese Americans came back to dedicate the third monument that's standing there in the middle there, two back in the back and then one in the center. Mm-hmm. That was the one that was dedicated in 1982.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as I said, it just escalated, and I was invited to speak at Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver, Colorado, St. Louis, Chicago, in Florida, two places in Florida, and about 10 in Arkansas, and in Texas, and in New Mexico.
Just all over the country?
Just everywhere, because everybody was interested in the Roar Camp.
Now, how did you learn more about it? Did the things people gave you, taught you,
and
or how
I would ask questions and get them to tell me their stories, and then I'd have them write them down. And the more that came, the more they told me what happened. And then, of course, I tried to find books and all, but it was almost impossible to find any books. And the thing is, you don't only talk about the Roar or the internment camp. There are quite a few. In fact, 866 young men left the Roar camp to join the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. Now, that's 866 men that left their parents behind barbed wire to fight for their country. Also, some of them joined the MIS, which is Military Intelligence Service, and they fought with General Merrill in China, the China-Burma-India. They spoke Japanese, these 10 MIS. Two of them came from Roar. And they would infiltrate the Japanese lines and talk to them and find out what they were doing, and then they'd slip back and tell General Merrill what was going on, and they'd tap into their telephone wires and find out what the Japanese were planning. So it just seems like you go from one thing to another, and from that to another. And some of the people who were at the Roar was George Takei, you know, with Star Trek. Well, his autobiography, the first chapter, is about, he was 3 years old, was about his stay in the internment camp. And now he has written a play about the internment camp, and it's in New York right now on Broadway.
Well, you hear when he, did you go to Little Rock when he was with the symphony?
No, I was in Florida.
Okay.
But he has been here. I've got a picture of him over there. No, he's been here a couple of times. And almost 2,000 internees have been here to go through my collection. I've got the guest books. They're all in the guest books, so there's no, I mean, not saying, oh, well, they came here. I've got the actual.
You have proof.
I've got proof that they came here. So,
so but,